Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're tuning in on one of our Minnesota radio stations, listening on our national broadcast, or catching the show on your favorite podcast platform, we are glad that you're here. On today's show, we're talking about stroke awareness, how to recognize the signs of a stroke, and why every minute matters when you see them. We'll also learn what the Minneapolis VA is doing to support veterans who have had a stroke, and, just as importantly, to help prevent strokes from happening in the first place. And kicking off today's show is the director of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, Pat Kelly. Director, thanks for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you calling in. I love being able to do this because you get the opportunity to give a couple of updates about what's going on with the VA, but then you also get to give your perspective in an intro to our topic today. I already mentioned that it's strokes, and before we get to that, I just want to make sure I give the floor or the microphone to you, and maybe you can tell us what's going on over at the Minneapolis VA. What kind of updates do you have for us?
Okay, great. Thank you for that opportunity. You know, I don't know if it's because it's the spring or what's we have a sort of a chock-a-block schedule full of special events going on, and so I'll just talk about hit a couple highlights, and maybe some of your listeners might be interested in coming around and checking those out. So, you know, this is a whole health month. So, you know, a lot of our veterans are signed up for some sort of a whole health modality. You know, it might include, any variety of things through our Center for Integrative Health and Healing. A lot of veterans are signed up for that, you know, so acupuncture, you know, those kinds of augmented, sort of modalities that help veterans stay well. So on Monday, we're having a resource fair over here at the Medical Center. Veterans should check that out. It's also Limb Loss Awareness Month. And again, that's a big deal in the VA. We have a lot of veterans who suffered from limb loss. And so on Wednesday, we're hosting a fair, an awareness fair for limb loss awareness. And then, you know, we have this great mental health group that meets on Friday. It's drop-in, and it's in the afternoon. It starts at 1300. But, you know, they have a sort of a topic du jour that they like to do, and again, a few snacks, informal conversation, but just an opportunity for veterans who are in the medical center who are interested in learning more about some of those mental health programs that might be interested in. All of those people can check out on our website. So, MinneapolisVA.gov, you can just look it up and Google it and look for events, and it'll tell you all about those three. I also want to mention, the VA has been doing a fair amount of outreach nationally, and we have here in our Minneapolis area too. And so the VA announced that over 100,000 new veterans have enrolled in VA healthcare already in 2026. And so part of our effort is to get out and identify those veterans who maybe when they left active duty, they didn't get signed up for a compensation and pension exam, or they didn't engage in VA healthcare. And so we take a show on the road. And last month we were in Chippewa Falls over in western Wisconsin. And we connected to about 75 veterans who ended up signing up for VA healthcare with us. And then on May 12th, Tuesday, May 12th, you know, we're getting with our partners from the VBA and the National Cemetery Administration and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we're going to join with them and offer a resource fair at the Scott County Government Center. And again, these are opportunities for veterans to come to an event in their area, learn about the VA, talk about services, talk about benefits. And so that's going to be Tuesday, May 12th. And again, for that event, veterans and your listeners can just go online, check it out at our website, sign up in advance, and attend the event. We've been pretty successful in doing that, and we just want all veterans who are eligible for VA services, whether they're healthcare or benefits or cemeteries, to sign up, learn what they're eligible for, and take advantage of their benefit.
Well, that's great news, Director, hearing about an additional 100,000 new veterans signing up for to receive the care that they've earned and they deserve. And we know that, especially at the Minneapolis VA, you provide great quality care. So thank you for doing that. And thanks for giving us that update. And again, Director, tell us, where would you send somebody if they're looking for more information on those events?
So probably the easiest thing, Doug, is to just Google Minneapolis VA. It'll give you a link to our website, and on the website, on the left-hand side, it'll list something called events. So just go to events. You'll see them there. Click on that. It'll list all of these events that I've spoken about today.
Awesome. Thanks, Director. And in my opening today, we talked about the importance of stroke awareness, and that's what we have guests in here. And so I thought maybe I could let you tee up the topic a little bit if you'd like, and then you can make an introduction of our first guest. And before you do that, I just want to say once again, thanks for spending some time with us.
Yep. Pleasure, Doug. Thank you for having me. So today, as you've already mentioned, you know, we're talking about strokes. And I think, you know, there's the issue of, you know, what do you, how do we treat strokes? What do you do? But I think there's also a great deal of education that would be helpful for our listeners about, you know, what are the signs of a stroke? What do you do if you feel like someone you know is having these signs? And then the programs that we have to help these veterans prevent strokes and to treat strokes. And so you've got a great group of stars there in the studio, I know. I'm going to introduce Elise Menk, who's going to be, I know, your first guest. So, you know, Elise is our stroke coordinator and case manager here at the Minneapolis VA. She's a nurse, over 10 years of nursing experience with specialized training in stroke care rehabilitation and case management. You know, she's like I say, she's been with us 10 years. We've been doing some really new and innovative things in the area of stroke care. And so Elise has great experience along with our clinical the rest of our clinical staff. You know, Elise earned her nursing degree from the Minnesota School of Business and is deeply committed to advancing veterans health care. You know, she's active in a number of national nursing associations and particularly as they relate to stroke and neuroscience nursing. And so again, really smart, educated, informed guests in the studio today. So we are happy to join you to talk about stroke. And I hope it's a good show for our veterans because this is an important issue for them to know about.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Director. And Elise, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
All right. We get just a few minutes in this segment left. And so if you could just quickly tell us what brought you to the Minneapolis VA?
Well, as the daughter of a veteran, I am proud of the care that we provide, that they earned. And we provide it with gratitude and respect that they deserve. And as the mother of a veteran, I like that we offer the full spectrum of healthcare with critical support and resources that they need. I started as a VA nurse, and I will retire as a VA nurse. There is no better patient population.
Well, that's awesome. And this is a pretty heavy topic, I think. And so maybe you can start off by telling us exactly what is a stroke and then what are some of those signs that someone should be aware of?
Sure. Well, a stroke happens usually because blood flow is blocked to part of the brain. And once the blood flow is blocked, then nutrients and oxygen can't get to those parts of the brain, and that's when the stroke symptoms begin. Brain cells start to die, and 20 million brain cells will die, almost 20 million, every minute that your brain goes without oxygen.
And so how do you know that that might be happening? What would be the most common sign?
Well, we like to say be fast because it's important because brain cells do die so fast. So we use the acronym BFAST, and that stands for balance, eyes, face, arms, speech, and time. And I can dig into those a little bit. It would be like the sudden onset of dizziness or uncoordination would be the balance part. Eyes could be a sudden onset of blurred vision or doubled vision or blocked vision. The F is for the facial droop that we often associate with a stroke. Arms is for weakness or numbness or tingling in an arm or a leg. Speech could be slurred speech, confusion, nonsensical speech. And time is time to call 911. Yeah. And I know a lot of our veterans were taught to tough it out and pull yourselves up by the bootstraps, yeah. And this is not the time to do that. You need to get in right away because there is a limited window of treatment.
Well, and we'll dive into a little bit more and explore some of the signs and really the things that people should do. And when they go out and see our show on our website, they're going to see you wearing a shirt that talks about stroke awareness and the BFAST acronym right on there. Elise, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to bring in a couple of your colleagues and really dive into stroke awareness and prevention and treatment that's out at the Minneapolis VA. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me right now, I've got Elise Mink, and we were talking in the last segment, and you talked about the acronym BFAST, and I'm just wondering, Elise, if you can just tell us what should someone do if there's even a thought that they or someone they know or love might be having a stroke?
Well, the first thing you do is you call 911. Because then the paramedics will come over and they'll assess you. They can rule out some other things that maybe are just a mimic of a stroke. And then they can start treatment right away. They can get IVs started. They can check your blood sugar, and they can get you to the closest qualified stroke center for the symptoms that you're displaying. And you don't have to wait in line at the ER. They'll get you right in. No waiting rooms. And you have that window for medication and treatment, and it's really urgent that you get in as soon as you know symptoms.
Absolutely. Well, joining us in the conversation now, also in the studio, I have Dr. Kevin Brown here, who's the chief of neurology out at the Minneapolis VA, and then also Tracy Bozer, who's the stroke coordinator for the inpatient stroke rehab unit. Dr. Tracy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug, for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining. And Dr. Brown, I'll just start with you because time is limited here, but I just do want to know, what brought you to the VA?
I'm a veteran, as you know, Doug. And
thank you for your service.
Thank you. My father, my grandfather all served in the Navy. So when I graduated high school, I knew that it was something I was going to do immediately. So after I finished medical school, I worked in the private sector for just a little over a decade, about 12 years, but I always knew that I wanted to come back and work in the VA. I think it's approximately 70% of all physicians in the country do some training at a VA. So it was the mission, you know, the commitment to my comrades and a desire to come back, and so that's what brought me back to the VA.
Well, awesome. Thank you for not only your service, but also continuing to serve our current service members, veterans out at the Minneapolis VA. And Tracy, what about you?
Yeah, well, I have family members. Both my grandfathers were World War II veterans. One of my grandfathers served during D-Day. My middle brother is also a veteran who served in Iraq. And then my mother worked at the VA for over 20 years. So there's a lot of history with the VA, and I've been at the VA for 18 years this summer, and so I have to say I've been very fortunate and lucky to work there, and it's a population when I went into social work I didn't know that I would have a chance to interact with, and it has been the best experience and the most humbling experience that I have ever had, so I feel very lucky to be at the VA, and in particular the Minneapolis VA.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you. And Tracy, I don't know if you are able to or want to answer this question, but I'll start with you, and you can always do a deflection, okay?
Sure.
But, you know, obviously, Minneapolis VA, your population is veterans. Yep. And so when we talk about strokes, is there a noted difference between what the veteran population versus the general population as it relates to propensity to have a stroke?
Well, you know, when we're talking about stroke and risk factors for stroke, diabetes, uncontrolled diabetes, hypertension, smoking, those are all pieces that some of our veterans may have a higher prevalence in their medical history, especially some of our Vietnam-era veterans that were exposed to Agent Orange. You know, they were exposed because of their exposure. They have higher rates of having diabetes, hypertension. So they're already at a higher risk for having risk factors for having a stroke. Mm-hmm. So that definitely is part of when we're seeing veterans coming through. A lot of them have kind of already those pieces in their medical history.
And so, again, just because you gave this answer, you know, you talk about those things, right? A veteran might have a higher utilization of, you know, those things. But is it too late to, like, curb it out? Like, if I stop smoking, for example, right? I don't smoke, just for everybody to know that. But yeah. If I did and I just stopped, is my the chances, is that being reduced then too because I've made that lifestyle change?
Yeah, I think anytime we can help build that education to prevent a future stroke, I mean, veterans or anybody who's had a stroke has a higher risk of having a second stroke, but mm-hmm. we provide a lot of stroke education, you know, how to manage their diabetes, how to have their blood sugars at a manageable level. Maybe they weren't taking their medicine or the hypertension, they weren't controlling their high blood pressure. So how do we help kind of have a restart on managing those symptoms that put them at a risk of having another stroke? And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes being in the hospital is kind of a wake-up call yeah. where they're like, I don't want to have a stroke. I don't want to be here, and I should have been doing these things. And we provide a non-judgmental type of, you know, rapport, like, hey, you're here, like, they're, you know, work with us. We'll help give you the education, the tools, so that you don't have to come back here. You know, I always joke with veterans that we love to see you coming back here. Hopefully you'll be outpatient, not inpatient.
Right.
You're always welcome back here, but, you know, yeah. definitely trying to help them make some lifestyle changes to reduce that risk of having another hospital stay.
And Dr. Brown, I'm wondering if you can talk about the primary stroke center out at the Minneapolis VA. What is it? And maybe talk about the number of veterans that you generally see in a year or care for.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So through VHA, we have three main certifications for stroke. So the primary stroke center, you have a limited hour stroke center, and then you have a supportive stroke center. So the primary stroke center is a 24-hour a day, 7-day location that can provide expertise in providing stroke care. The limited hour provides the same type of care, but only for a few hours. They don't have the infrastructure or staff resources to do that. So if you go to a limited hour stroke center, that's 8 to 4, maybe they can offer it, but that's it. Then the supportive stroke center is just tasked with stabilizing a patient with acute stroke and getting them to someone like National Telestroke Program with expertise to as soon as they can to cover it. So the primary stroke center, what you have is two main things. One is you're going to get physician and providers who have expertise in acute stroke care and stroke care in general. The second thing is with a primary stroke center, you're more likely, the likelihood is significantly higher that you're going to receive one of these clot-busting medications or thrombolytic agents, which is key because we know that those who receive the thrombolytic agents, these clot-busting medications, their risk of mortality in 30 days is significantly decreased, and then your functionality at 90 days, which is how we measure this when we study it, your functionality is going to be much better. So at a primary stroke center, you're getting those things, and you're also getting a dedicated team of people who provide stroke care. We are tasked with required education each year. That includes written information as well as participating in simulations of stroke patients. So we do those things, and then we also have regular meetings to identify at our stroke committee meetings to identify any opportunities for improvement. So all of these things culminating are going to guarantee that the veterans who come to a primary stroke center or any of the other two that I mentioned, it ensures that no matter where you are, you get the ultimate, most recent evidence-based care when you come to the VA.
And about how many veterans do you take care of annually?
Well, with the National Stroke Center, since we added that, I think in looking at fiscal year 24-25, we use National Stroke Center collaborating with us on about 275 patients.
Okay.
Now, the thing to make note of, Doug, is we look at the numbers that we have, but all of the veterans don't get their care at a VA.
Right.
So there's a significant amount of veterans who are getting stroke care. Some of it may be outside of the VA, but we're seeing just under 300 or so a year at our facility.
And, Doctor, we've got 30 seconds here, but I know that one of the options for care is telehealth. I would argue that in-person is the best care, but how can you help someone via telehealth means as well?
Yeah, you're stabilizing the care. So you could, no matter where you are, if you're in a rural area, you've got stroke certified person who is an expertise in stroke care at your bedside within 10 minutes. So if you're in a rural area, for example, you don't have those kind of resources. So this has significantly changed and ensured that there's no disparities in veterans care no matter where you are.
That's awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll continue our conversation about stroke awareness on the other side of the break. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system is Dr. Kevin Brown, Tracy Bozer, and Elise Mink. And we're talking about stroke awareness. And Dr. Brown, I want to come back to you because you were talking about this medication. I can't even say the word that you were saying, thrombolytics, or I don't know. Yeah. Is that what it was? But maybe you could just dive in a little bit more. Tell us really what is that medication and why is that so important?
Right, Doug. Thanks. It's very important. Now, you know, most people have thought about telemedicine more recently, particularly when we came into the COVID period. We're using it more. But with thrombolytics, or these clot-busting medications with stroke, we've been doing telemedicine for almost 3 decades now. So the first thrombolytic agent, something called Alteplase, was approved back in 96. The term telemedicine was coined in 99. And ever since that time, that sort of began or marked the beginning of telemedicine using these medications in acute stroke care was set into place. At the VHA, we've now got 81 facilities who are using telemedicine and using these thrombolytic clot-busting medications to improve the health of our veterans. Now, I want to just put a plug out for Minneapolis. This Alteplase medication was approved in 96, but Tenecteplase is another medicine that we're using, and we were the first VA in the country to use this medication for stroke when we started our program. Back in 2023. These medications are given within a certain time window. It has to be within 4.5 hours when someone comes in with acute stroke symptoms. The medications have a fibrin component, so they can break down blood clot and it can break down cholesterol to some degree. But what this does is open up the blood vessel to improve flow to the areas that's blocked, which is the whole reason that a person is having stroke symptoms. So if you can get in, as Elise had mentioned, as soon as possible, we want you there within an hour, really. But you have up to about 4.5 hours to receive one of these clot-busting medications. And I can tell you, Doug, I've been at the bedside where a patient has come in and they can't move their arm or their face is droopy on one side. We give a medication like Tenecteplase and the symptoms resolve right there. You can see the medicine actually take effect. So the long-term effects in terms of mortality and functionality are significantly improved with either one of these medications. We choose Tenecteplase because, getting a little technical here, you can give the entire dose of the medication within about 5 to 10 seconds. The other medication that's used, Alteplase, you have to drip it in through an IV, and it takes about an hour.
And time is of the essence, as we've already learned.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, Tracy, I do want to come to you because, you know, we talked about the signs, right? We talked about kind of lifestyle thing. We hope that somebody calls because they have a concern and it's not a stroke, or we hope that a change in lifestyle prevents someone from having a stroke, but inevitably someone will still have a stroke, right? Just it's going to happen. What can someone expect generally after a stroke? What does life even look like?
You know, I think it's different for everybody, depending on the kind of stroke, the deficits that they had from the stroke. And one of the things that we do at the VA from the outpatient perspective is really trying to individualize like what that care needs are. So if a veteran, like Dr. Brown had mentioned, not all veterans have their stroke care at the Minneapolis VA. Sometimes they have it from an outside hospital, and they might come back to see their primary care provider and mention they've been in the hospital, and they will get referred for our outpatient team. And so they might have some additional, you know, physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy. They might meet with a dietitian, their social work. So we try to build in, you know, kind of try to pick up where they left off to kind of help building in the different strategies that maybe they've been working on, or lifestyle changes, or make sure that they're, you know, still on track with their medication, their blood sugar, their blood pressure. So we're really trying to pick up where they left off when they were in the community. That would be the ideal scenario, and we see that quite often.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, but if someone is being treated at the Minneapolis VA and we're talking after the stroke, so they've come through the episode, the follow-on services, are they all housed right there at the VA? Can you provide basically everything that somebody needs for aftercare?
Yep, we have therapy, of outpatient therapy on site. And sometimes, you know, depending on where the veteran is, because we have a lot of veterans that we serve that are on Western Wisconsin. So sometimes for them to come back outpatient isn't always feasible. So we might refer them into the community. We also do some VVC, some video connect, so virtual type therapy to help, you know, kind of pick up where they left off. So we really try to individualize, you know, what is going to work best for the veteran.
Now, the things that you've been talking about are mostly outpatient care. Do you do inpatient stuff?
Absolutely. We have our inpatient unit up. We have a 13-bed unit up on the fourth floor at the Minneapolis VA, where we, once veterans have stabilized, they're able to come up to our unit and, you know, have a variety of rehab services, like I mentioned, occupational therapy, which will work with them on their kind of activities of daily living, you know, making sure they're able to dress, feed, bathe themselves, physical therapy, you know, balance, walking, transferring, speech therapy, which works on the swallowing, but also communication, some of the memory cognitive pieces that people might have some changes with since they've had a stroke. We have a huge interdisciplinary team up on that unit. They have social work, case management, the dietitian. We have rehab psychology. We also have vision therapy. So I think one of the things that we do and do it well is we have a lot of extra specialty therapy services that we're able to offer veterans and provide just that extra level of care, and making sure that we've kind of covered all of the bases as best we can to make sure that when they do discharge, that they have the best chance at a successful community discharge.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Elise, talking about inpatient care, outpatient care, I would imagine that part of the thing that Tracy's also describing is there's got to be involvement in some programs, I would assume, out at the VA to help with this training. So, you know, she already mentioned maybe some of the motor skill things, but are there other unique programs to the VA that you can talk about?
We have so many unique programs that we can offer our veterans. And as a matter of fact, we have a stroke fair coming up on May 11th from 8:30 to 11 in the auditorium, and we invite all veterans and caregivers to come and take a piece of information away with them. We will have a high blood pressure group set up there. They can self-refer. Veterans can self-refer. They don't need their primary care doctor to set them up with that blood pressure group. They get a blood pressure cuff and, you know, dietary information. It's a big support group. We have the MOVE program to help because a poor diet and obesity is a big risk factor for stroke. So we have the MOVE program, and veterans can self-refer to that. They don't need their primary care doctor for that. We have the diabetes group. We have physical therapy. So, I mean, there's just our offers are endless.
No, at least we have less than a minute here. But how important is it to keep talking about strokes and being aware of strokes?
Because 600,000 people have their first stroke every year, and 80% of them can be prevented.
Wow. Okay. And is there a specific age that you generally see, or is it all ages?
They're getting younger. They're getting younger.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. That doctor, you want to say something?
I was just going to say that's a very good question that you asked, Doug. What we know now, what it looks like, is if you're under 45, we see about 10 to 20 strokes per 100,000. If you get 75 or older, it's 1,000 per 100,000.
Wow.
So we got to keep talking about it, especially as our folks are getting older.
Yeah, and definitely. None of us in this room are getting younger, that's for sure. So crazy. Well, maybe Elise, that's exactly right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this conversation about stroke awareness and the importance thereof. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me talking about stroke awareness from the Minneapolis VA is Dr. Kevin Brown, the Chief of Neurology, Tracy Bozer, the Stroke Coordinator for the Inpatient Stroke Rehab Unit, and Elise Mink, the Stroke Coordinator and Case Manager at the Minneapolis VA. A lot of great information. And doctor, I do want to come to you. We talk about technical things, and you're the right person to ask about this because there's an acronym in front of me called TIA. I cannot even try to pronounce what that is. So maybe you can help us out, explain it to us and the importance.
Sure. TIA stands for Transient Ischemic Attack.
So the middle word is the one I was struggling with.
Yeah, ischemic, yeah. So again, this is a transient phenomenon that happens, and you may have the same symptoms of strokes that we've talked about. Elise talked about be fast. So you may have eye symptoms. You may have weakness. You may have imbalance, difficulties with speech, et cetera. It's the same thing as stroke. However, the symptoms are limited in the amount of time. We tend to see the symptoms last about 10 to 15 minutes, but they can last up to 24 hours. But you have these symptoms and they go away. And so that's why we want to educate about that. If you're at home and you have symptoms that's come on all of a sudden and they go away, a lot of people will say, oh, well, that was just what it was, and they don't get checked out. But a TIA is really a warning sign of what is to come. So if you've got this transient ischemic event, some symptoms that last 5-10 minutes, you still need to come in to be evaluated, because during the evaluation we'll find out potentially what caused the symptoms, and we can interact and do the same kinds of treatments withstanding the clot-busting medications. But we can look for issues. Issues may be an irregular heart rhythm that will require medication. It could be vascular stenosis, or meaning a blood vessel in the neck or somewhere in the brain has blockage. That's going to cause another problem if you don't interact and treat that. So TIA is a very important phenomenon for our veterans to know about. And I think the take-home message, most importantly, is if you have a sudden onset of transient symptoms, no matter if they last 5 minutes or go on for a day, you really need to get to the hospital to be evaluated.
And just again, what are some of the symptoms?
So it could be, I think, so people can remember, first of all, it's sudden onset. These are symptoms that you're sitting around watching a television show or something on TV, and all of a sudden you have any of those be fast symptoms.
Gotcha.
Balance. Changes in your vision, facial weakness,
okay.
These kinds of things we mentioned.
Awesome. Well, and we're gonna put Tracy on the spot here in a minute. We'll talk about BFAST. But what I do, thanks, Doctor, by the way, I do want to come over to Elise because, you know, right now today there are things that we can be and should be doing to help prevent a stroke. Talk to us about that.
Well, lifestyle factors account for about half of the strokes. So it's really important right now to get early screening, know your cholesterol numbers, know your blood pressure, keep your blood pressure in check, because uncontrolled blood pressure is the number one leading cause of a stroke. Make your lifestyle changes and manage your risk factors. Make sure you're taking your medications as prescribed.
And I would imagine diet and exercise are extremely important in all of this.
80% of Americans aren't getting enough exercise. The American Heart Association recommends 150 hours of moderate exercise a week, and most of us aren't getting that. And 42% of Americans have obesity, and losing 5 or 10 pounds will lower your stroke risk.
Yeah, and you know, the term obesity, often that kind of scares people, right? Because they think of somebody who's just like, I mean, grossly overweight. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily mm-hmm. the case, is it?
No, just a little bit of extra weight can put you into that pre-obese or obese stage. Yeah. And it's, like I said, it's poor diet and lack of exercise, and those are the things that we have to manage.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so you got the warning order, Tracy. The doctor kind of teed it up a little bit. We know that Elise described it early on. Be fast. I mean, these are extremely important symptoms to keep in mind. So can you talk to us again about that?
Yeah, sure. You know, the be fast, you know, and like Dr. Brown, the sudden onset, if you notice any of these things, either in yourself or someone that's right next to you, so change in your balance, eyes, vision, the facial change, the drooping speech, either all of a sudden it's kind of a garbled or slurred speech, and time. So if you notice any of these things, call 911. Or if you notice on somebody else, call 911. It's super important. I think the other piece is knowing the risk factors for a stroke. You know, the high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, heart disease, smoking. These are all things that put someone at risk for having a stroke. So if you have any of these, or you have a loved one that has any of these and maybe hasn't been managing it, call your VA provider, get an appointment in to be seen, because it's not too late. And May is Stroke Prevention Month, and so we're wanting to get the word out. There's a lot of things that people can do to make small, significant changes to reduce that risk of having a stroke. Come to the Minneapolis VA May 11th, 8:30 to 11:30 at the VA Auditorium. We're going to have a bunch of vendors from the community, from in the hospital, that's going to have education that you can grab for yourself or somebody else that you know that's not able to make it.
So that, again, is the stroke fair that you're talking about. And, and I do want to ask, and if you don't know, again, that's fine, but I know it's different for everybody, but is there generally one more common symptom that shows up, or is it just you can't even tell because it's just so sporadic for the individual?
More common for like veterans themselves?
Just in general, right? So you talk about be fast, right? But is there one of these symptoms that like that one is always going to be there, and this is the one that generally shows up first?
I would say probably some of the biggest, at least from the inpatient perspective, the mobility and balance is probably one of the biggest things that we see people have an issue with, where either the left side or the strength. So the mobility balance is mm-hmm. probably one of the bigger things that we see that people need additional rehab with.
Yeah, I see the doctor shaking his head in agreement as well.
And, oh, shoot. so I'm not a doctor. I'm a social worker, but, you know.
It really is difficult to say, though, Doug. Every patient, every veteran is going to be different because it has to do with where the problem is.
Yeah, right.
So if we have posterior circulation in the brain. We have anterior circulation, meaning problem in the front of the brain versus in the back. So depending on which vessel, which side, is it in the front of the brain, is it in the back, all of that's going to determine. Sometimes you can have multiple areas affected all at one time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be there's not one telltale sign in each patient. It really depends on what the location of the problem is.
And Elise, as you're working with our veterans and patients, do you find that it's extremely important to discover or at least get the veteran to discover their why to make the changes that Tracy's laid out? Because I think that that must be an important factor.
You have to be willing to make the changes.
Yeah.
You know, if quitting smoking isn't your thing and you're going to keep smoking no matter what, then try to manage your blood pressure. Or, you know, maybe lay off the ice cream at night. You know.
Oh, hold on a second now.
Give up what
you know, lost him at the ice cream.
Keep what you got to keep, but make arrangements somewhere else in your lifestyle. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Lise, for joining us here. Appreciate your insight, your input today, and Tracy, you as well. You know, you guys be fast, right? I mean, that's the thing. That's the
right.
theme today.
That's the
and
theme.
Absolutely. And Doctor, I'll give you the final 10 seconds here. Thoughts to our audience.
Well, I think we've laid out kind of what we expect folks to do. We're available. We're here. You got a committed group of people that want to help you. So come and see us. Take heed to the information that you got today and activate your emergency system if you experience any of these symptoms.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks to the team out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Before we close out today's show, I want to remind you that the next food pantry for veterans is Tuesday, April 21st at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. That takes place 10 to 2 and also the third Tuesday of each month. Thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support, and our goal is to bring you meaningful, informative content each week. We always welcome your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Click on Contact Us to share your thoughts, questions, or recommendations. You can also catch up on past shows on Minnesota Military Radio Podcast, wherever you listen, and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Be sure to tune in next week as we spend time with the Minnesota Department Commander of the American Legion and meet the American Legion's National Commander. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. Have a productive week, and please take a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can all enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.